This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. In the early hours of January 19th, 2010, residents on Milwaukee's east side awoke to a loud boom. Within minutes, apartments and businesses were engulfed in flames. As the embers dulled, it became clear to investigators that they were dealing with arson.
Although no one was mortally wounded in the blast and ensuing fire, the wounds inflicted on the community continue to linger. The loss of one particular business, Pizza Man, is still a sore spot for many Milwaukeeans.
Stephen Potter wrote about the Pizza Man and the blast that changed the East Side in this month's Milwaukee Magazine. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thank you.
So for those of our listeners who may not have been aware of Pizza Man before, you know, this event in 2010, give us some background on this restaurant. What's its story?
Sure. Well, it started about 40 years before the fire. And it was just a small kind of takeout pizza and chicken place. And then it kept expanding and it really became this iconic restaurant that was very cozy, dimly lit, great for dates, and just really became this institution on the east side that a lot of people loved and went to frequently. Became known for its great pizza and pasta dishes. And it was just really an institution.
Yeah, it's funny because in 2010, I wasn't actually living in Milwaukee. But I will say one of the first things that people would talk to me about Milwaukee, talking about, you know, kind of its history, is Pizza Man. It was this kind of institution that, you know, had this really tragic end.
Right. Yeah, it was the first restaurant I ever went to in Milwaukee. Believe it or not, I went for a visit at UW-Milwaukee to check out the college, and that's where my mom and I went for lunch.
So walk us through the night of January 19th, 2010.
So what happened that night? It was a Monday night, and around 3:30 in the morning, there was an explosion in one of the restaurants next to the Pizza Man restaurant in that building on the corner of Oakland and North Avenues. And this was an explosion that was not only heard, but it was such a big explosion that the residents living in the upstairs apartment actually felt it. And so they were shaken awake by this. And then smoke alarms started going off and they realized something was happening that was serious. And they grabbed some of their belongings and ran outside and they were calling 911 as this happened. Moments later, still, you know, about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, fire crews started showing up. And the fire just spread really quickly throughout the entire length almost of the building. And they kept having to call more and more backup from the fire department. And it actually escalated to a five-alarm fire where over the next 5 hours, about 150 firefighters worked on putting out this fire. And they at one point had three ladder trucks up spraying water. It was just a huge fire that it was probably the biggest fire for a lot of these firefighters to ever have worked on.
And right away, they started investigating it as arson, as though someone intentionally set it on fire.
Yeah, it was pretty immediately well known that it was arson. It wasn't an accident. The investigators jumped right on it. They were there that next morning. They had brought in an ATF dog that immediately smelled gasoline. That was backed up by laboratory tests. And so then the investigators started interviewing business owners and witnesses still that morning right away.
And there were a few other restaurants, not as well known perhaps as Pizza Man, but other restaurants that were in that same building. And it seemed as though specifically there was one man who they suspected of having committed arson since the gasoline was found in his cafe. What was his story?
Sure. Well, there was Pizza Man that was on the far west of the building. Then there was a bar next to that known as Kush Lounge. Next to that was a restaurant called Grecian Delight. And then on the other side of the building was the Black and White Cafe. And that's where investigators say that the fire started because it was the most badly burned. That was owned by a man named Firas Rahman. and they immediately zeroed in on him, prosecutors and investigators, because they said that he was trying to get out of the restaurant business, that he had met with a broker trying to sell the place, and that he really wanted to get out of the restaurant business so he could open up a car dealership on the south side. So they zeroed in on him almost immediately as the arsonist.
So they zero in on him pretty early, it seems, but it does take about a year for them to formally charge him. Getting to more of the, you know, technical parts of how you prove someone has committed arson, what did they have to find in that year to really build a case against him?
Sure. Arson cases are really difficult to prove because you have to, and this is what experts told me, you have to, first of all, rule out all of the possible accidental fires, and then you have to find the materials, in this case it was gasoline, that caused the fire, and then also point to someone who had the means and the motivation to do it. So that's, I think, what took so long in the investigation.
And so they really felt as though they had found this in Rahman. How did the case eventually unfold?
Sure. Well, charges came, and then later it went to trial. Firas Rahman was charged with not only the arson-related charges, but then also they say that he lied to investigators and prosecutors about a laptop computer that he said was kept in the business, but then they found it at his apartment. And from there, the prosecutors built the case that, again, he was trying to get rid of the restaurant because he wanted to open the car dealership. And they built their case around that. They said that, his business was failing and that he must have started the fire and that the back door to his business was left open. So that was the reasoning behind their prosecution.
What was his defense?
His defense was, he strongly denied having anything to do with setting the fire. His attorney said that he was also a victim of the fire, and that they pointed to a different individual, the owner of the restaurant next door to his, a man named Andy Carabellis, and they're saying that he may have started the fire because of he had access through a shared basement door to the Firas Rahman restaurant, and that they alleged went into Firas Rahman's restaurant, started the fire, and then left. And they said that he had motivation to do that because Firas Rahman's restaurant was cutting into his restaurant's business. They were both kind of after bar restaurants, served similar foods. And they pointed to him as the culprit.
Now, the trial lasts a bit of time. How does everything shake up? How does the jury find?
Sure. The trial in all lasted about 2 weeks. And when it concluded, to the surprise of many, Firas was found not guilty of the arson charges. And then ultimately, he was found guilty of lying about the laptop that he said burned in the fire, but was later found at his apartment. And in sentencing on that laptop charge, on the lying charge, the judge took into consideration something called acquitted conduct sentencing. And that's a controversial practice where a judge can take all of the evidence, even the charges that he was found not guilty on, and take those into effect. And he did so, and the judge threw the book at Rahman, and he gave him, 30 months in prison and some probation after that, parole. Rahman ultimately ended up appealing that and got it all thrown out. So ultimately, this case is still, although it's closed, it's very much unsolved, and for many of the people affected, it's unresolved.
You now have had an opportunity to speak with a number of people who were involved with the case, not only the restaurant owners, but like really the inner workings of the criminal case. How do they feel about it? What have they said?
Sure. Well, the investigators, the spokeswoman for the ATF, they still strongly believe that it was Rahman, or maybe he had conspired with someone to start the fire. They said that they respect the court. They don't agree with the not guilty finding. But they and the prosecutors still strongly believe that it was Firas Rahman who started the fire. And it just didn't shake out for him in court. The other people involved, the owner, you know, then owner of Pizza Man, still thinks it's Firas Rahman, and the other owners of the other businesses there in between Pizza Man and Firas Rahman's place, they wouldn't say that they think it's Rahman, but they said that all things pointed to him, but, you know, they couldn't be sure, and he ultimately was found not guilty.
What's happened to Rahman in the time since the fire and since he was accused?
He ultimately did end up opening the used car dealership, and he continues to operate that today. He says he misses the restaurant business. He says his business was profitable. He would get back into it possibly if he had the money for it. But this is something he's been telling people. He hasn't had anything to do with the fire for, you know, going on 8 years now. Some other people involved, Andy Carabellas, who owns Grecian Delight, is still in the restaurant business. He works at a Mexican restaurant. The owner of the bar, Kush Lounge, works in marketing now. They all really miss their restaurants.
Having reported so extensively on this, do you think we'll ever know what really happened?
No, I don't think that we'll know. Whoever set this fire seems to have gotten away with it. I think after this much time, if it hasn't come out now, it will remain a mystery.
Well, in the end, things did seem to turn out at least okay for Pizza Man. They did reopen in another location.
Sure. They have a very popular restaurant there on Downer Avenue now. Is their east side location, and they have a couple other locations as well. So kind of out of the ashes, Pizza Man has rebounded quite well. But it took them a couple years to get there. Some investors came in and spoke to the owner of the original Pizza Man, and, you know, said we want to revive this restaurant, and they've done quite well. They seems to have built their following back up. You know, now it's not just one location, it's three very popular locations.
Stephen Potter is a Madison-based writer whose article titled Getting Away with Arson is featured in this month's Milwaukee Magazine.